Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about bird watching. We're going to explain why it makes you happier. We're going to explain how to do it, how to get started as a beginner, and essentially how to change your life, because truly this is a hobby I picked up 2 years ago and I've never been happier. Oh my gosh, dang life. I sadly I'm starting to get that thing where everyone talks to me about birds, and it's like, I do love birds,
but you're
and I love bird watching, but when you start, it's like, is that my only personality? But then it's so funny. Everyone be like, oh, a bird, or give me little bird trinkets, which is nice. But then I'm like, okay, I'm literally becoming the bird person. But it's just because it's the easily accessed hobby to do during pandemic. There were so many things that sometimes it is funny. I'm like, okay, maybe I need to chill, but it is actually so cool.
But who am I walking down the street?
Rock Dove. Crown-breasted pigeon.
Okay.
Robin.
Both of those so embarrassing. Both of those were pigeons, which aren't that cool. And
okay,
robin,
what else is there? You'll be like,
house sparrow.
Okay, house sparrow, chipping sparrow. Those are also really common. So, European starling, also really common.
Greg loves birds. Of course they're going to talk to you about birds.
Well, no, I've not do that anymore because those are the basic basics, but we aren't going to ever say that on this birding podcast that there are basic ones and good ones and bad ones, because I don't believe that that's true, but I will explain that some people do. But when there's a rarity flying on the street, I will stop and say.
Okay, save it for the bird segment. Okay. What?
I just got back from a week apart from you. That's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. How's it going? Good. Oh, yeah. How was your week?
Good. Yeah.
Life's so weird because we still obviously communicate all week when we're apart.
Yeah, it's true.
And I did see you last night.
Yeah, no, it was good. I watched movies alone. I worked on my work, and it was very, living alone is interesting. At first, I'm always sad, and then I kind of get into it, and then you start to be I don't want to see anyone ever again.
I know.
It's weird, but then I'm no, obviously I do, but living alone is nice.
It is, especially once you get into it. I agree, because I was alone here, and the first 24 hours, I was I'm so alone.
Yeah, I feel so sad. The first 24 hours, I'm like, this is so depressing.
The immediate following 24 hours, it's oh my God. This is amazing. I can do whatever.
You can do whatever you want whenever you want to do it. It's crazy.
And it's not even it reminds me of when I used to I moved back in with my parents after university or whatever. And you're it's not that you can't do something. It's just that when you're around other people, even if it's roommates, there's kind of limitations to just going with your own flow.
You have to take into consideration
other people.
Other people. Even when you don't
it's
realize.
Really hard.
No, even when you don't. Yeah. No, it sucks. Having to care about others. You have to take into consideration them in ways that you don't realize you're doing all the time.
Yeah, even if it's oh, I'm hungry. Oh, but someone's using the kitchen, so I'll
I'll wait.
Or I'm making something that will be obnoxious and make the kitchen messy. There's lots of.
Or it's I don't really feel putting on clothes. I'm gonna be naked. I'm always naked all the time.
I'm not naked that often.
I never put clothes on. I whip my clothes off the second I get home and I live alone. It's so weird.
Full naked.
I love it.
That is so interesting because you never do that here.
I know, because I'm like, I don't know. Isn't that weird? Like, you shouldn't care, but I feel more exposed.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense.
It's just like, you are like, okay, like, now your cock and balls are just like drooped on the couch while we are like chatting.
True, but I guess if you did it more often, it would just become normalized.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. I sort of feel the same way. Like, if I go to the like loft and work out and then I'm really sweaty and I'm there, I will just like take all my sweaty clothes off and then be naked. And I'm just like, I wouldn't do that here. Oh my god, are we ashamed of our bodies?
I'm horny. I don't know about you.
Oh my god. So that's fun. What else was new this week?
Let's get into what we
Oh, you want to move on?
Like, I feel like we're grasping at straws.
And I love being naked.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Okay, I'm going to go first because I feel like mine is going to be hard to explain in a weird way, and I want to do it slowly, and I want everyone's help, including yours, to help me understand if what I'm saying makes sense.
Okay.
Because I feel like I get it, but I also don't.
Okay.
So it's like
big buildup.
And because it's sort of nearing the end of this book on consciousness, and there's all these things before it that have led to my understanding of this. And I want to know if I just say this, if it makes any sense to you.
Okay. So this is like a little practice time for you to explain a concept that you're going to find out whether people need context before hearing.
Yes.
Okay.
So this book is about how conventional ideas of consciousness, there's like a field of thought that is that we don't take in the perceptions from the world around us just as light and audio signals hitting our neurons. The neurons are essentially like hitting our eardrums, I guess, and our retinas, which hit receptors that send signals to our brain, and that's why we see.
Mm-hmm.
This book is arguing that our brain is a prediction-making machine that is predicting everything all the time, mostly, and our senses, like vision, are just backing up with reality what the brain has already thought.
So it's like a secondary response to verify.
Yes.
I saw that thing. My brain already thought it was there and now I'm seeing it, but I actually processed it before I actually saw it or something.
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Like more, it's like their values that our conscious life is more our brain just predicting all these things based on prior context and knowledge. And our senses, like in our even like thermoreception, proprioception, not just like taste and smell and see, is all just there to back everything up based on like the actual reality of what is around us. Because in our life, there are things that exist, but we're just essentially, our brain is just like encoding them for our consciousness to know.
Yeah, okay.
So their argument is that our emotions are also this, in that our fear, our jealousy, our sadness is just our brain's predictions of what's to come. So for example, fear, it's like you see a bear, your brain is now predicting what needs to happen, so your fear response happens and is triggered in order for you to run. Sadness, you're watching a loved one die, your brain is predicting,
whoa, that was a really sad one,
like how, your brain's predicting how bad this is going to be for your future self,
right?
That the emotion of sadness comes in as the response. Jealousy, like your friend, I don't know, like has sex with your boyfriend or something.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain is predicting how awful the future is now going to be in that specific setting that you create jealousy.
Okay.
Does that make any sense? That is like the brain is the emotions are the brain's response to predicting what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that totally does make sense. Like I'll think about it more, but there's lots of, even in therapies and stuff that I've worked on with anxiety, like a lot of times you realize you will feel an emotion before you even like know what it's about.
It. Yeah.
So like sometimes I'll just have a pit in my stomach and now I sometimes be like, okay, I need to like get up and walk to associate this with like movement because I actually don't know what it's coming from. So sometimes it makes sense that emotions are not necessarily coming directly from something, but it's like an internal thing first that your body or brain or whatever subconsciousness has decided to put on. But
and
it's
then
interesting to think about because obviously like the sight and the sound and those kind of predictions feel universal. Obviously not every creature on this planet does, but, and maybe other creatures have forms of emotions. Obviously they do. Like there's excitement and there's like sadness and you can see that in Ernie. But I when you look at certain levels of consciousness or beings, you wonder, is it just a different form of emotional processing, or are they having those things as well? Yeah. Obviously, fear exists in lots of animals.
Yeah. And it exists in us. Like, and it's so interesting. It's like those animals are conscious. Oh my God. It's so cool. Sorry. Thinking about consciousness is so cool. Cause I am like, now that I'm thinking about other animals, it's just like, I want to know so bad what it feels like to be a dog, but it's like, yeah. You just can't, and they are conscious, but it's like, I can't even fathom. I'm always going to be like, you know, anthropomorphizing everything.
Yeah. You can only see it through your own perspective. It's actually an interesting way to also think about yourself. Like how, like when you think about your own therapizing, you actually can't really consider yourself. It's kind of like, you know, a scissor, like scissors can't cut themselves. Like,
yeah,
a screwdriver can't screw itself. Like, you can't analyze yourself because you're contained within yourself.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you can't analyze anything because you can also never put yourself into that other position. Yeah. But
I was thinking of the other way. Like, it's so hard to give other people advice because you can't know their consciousness.
I but think
you
both can is actually, true.
But they both are true. Yeah. I was thinking of it more like, oh, I'm better at therapizing myself because I know myself because I am myself. But it's like, oh, wait, no. But I'm also so clouded with all the intensity that it is to, like, be me. Oh
and
my
you
God.
Can't step outside yourself. That's why having something like a therapist or people to talk to can help you gain perspective on your own issues. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when it comes to consciousness, like, I got to sit on that and think about that.
Yeah,
a little more.
I know exactly. Like, I thought it was interesting, and obviously reading the book, it's much better explained that I was very convinced, but I've just been trying to, yeah. Anyways,
I think it's just interesting
that explain it the way I explained it and be like, does it even
No, it does make sense. I don't know why I keep relating it to like other animals. I like the idea that there's like, I guess consciousness is a construct in terms of how we think about it. But when I've heard of it from like a spiritual perspective, it's like even a rock has a form of consciousness. It may not be because, you know, like if you leave a rock alone long enough, it peoples, right? Like our planet did that, right? Like our planet was a giant rock that eventually became animals and plants and people and all these things, right? So there's like some thoughts in Buddhism that like everything has a level of like vibration to it, right? And that we are like a quote unquote more complex form than the consciousness of like quote unquote simpler organisms or even a rock, which is like perhaps one of the most simple thing. But that's like often even the bell. I'm like projecting my own thoughts into Buddhism. I don't know enough about this.
Yeah, because that's
you know, when you ding the bell and it's just like vibrations. Like this is a form of consciousness.
That's like really nice spiritual thought. But I do think that scientifically the argument would be a rock doesn't have consciousness.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's why I'm saying it's a construct, though. I think that's a spiritual understanding, because what is the difference then?
Well, that's so interesting. Because
it's a gradient. It's like the difference between a dog and a wolf is what humans wrapped around it to say these are distinct species, even though at some point they were the same. Where exactly did one become a dog and one become a wolf? Like everything is a gradient. And truly, this rock we're on Earth like was just a rock at first.
Okay, no, what's so interesting is it's like, but then there's also the theory of like, did nitrogen or the things that made life actually come from another planet? But your argument
but
is
even,
like, that
even
was
in,
a rock.
Yeah, like in this or universe. Or it was a big, like, this the universe, big bang created. Did it start, did the universe start with consciousness? So consciousness came out of, our idea of consciousness came out of nothingness.
Yeah, that's
true. So where did it start? So is everything actually consciousness? It also reminds me, like, there's a really nice saying that because sometimes people think of like different forms of consciousness of being better, like we're more complex, so we're like better, or that different forms of organisms are like more important than the other. But I recently heard it said, like, you know, people often think the tree is the final form and it makes acorns or seeds to make more trees. But then I heard it said that a tree is just an acorn's way of making more acorns. And I was like, that's a funny way. Or an egg is, or a chicken is just an egg's way of laying more eggs.
Yeah, it's interesting.
You know what I mean? Like, to flip it on itself, to be like, everything is kind of like, you can just change the perspective of it. This is a rambling, but...
No, it's not a rambling. It's actually just like, it's just that consciousness is trying to be studied scientifically now, but it's hard to discuss outside of spirituality because of humans and because of what spirituality is like essential for life. It's just interesting because like consciousness, I'm reading this purely scientific book that is not bringing up anything to do with religion or spirituality at all. And it's just like, oh yeah, but when you bring that up consciousness to any person, the topic's going to become about spirituality really quickly. I like forgot about that because I'm reading it about like
just
like from a neuronal like physics perspective. So I was like, oh yeah, but it, like no one, a lot of people don't want to talk about that. They'd rather talk about.
Well, the only other thing I'll add onto it, because I don't want to like keep going on and on and could talk about this forever unless you're finding this as interesting as I am.
We should do an episode on consciousness.
Oh, true. Write that down. But like, because as humans, you're saying like we're interpreting signals. We only have so many tools to, like, we don't see UV light. We can only see time in one direction. You know what I mean? Like, we experience the world only through the way that we're capable of doing it. And so it limits us in a way that we can actually understand the universe in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like, can we actually understand the true nature of the universe as we are so limited by what we can even measure?
Well, that's why it's so cool about science. It's because they're like, well, we can have crazy contraptions that will be able to measure something outside of the visible light spectrum.
True. But then how far does that go? Like, to what point does it go on and on and on, and humans are able to make things that can detect everything, or is there limitations to that?
That's literally the theory of everything. That's what they're looking for. They're literally looking for that actual answer.
I thought the theory of everything was finding like an equation that describes. I know that's
an equation that works
and like helps. My understanding
is like an equation that actually works, like, because right now the like theory of general relativity and like what's coming in from quantum physics and quantum mechanics and all these different fields isn't adding up mathematically. But there is obviously, like, with math, it's like so interesting. It's like a language that is like you discover more things as you do it. There is the theory of everything is when it actually brings everything that we understand together to have an actual solution to what's going on in the universe. But they don't have that. And you're right. It could not exist.
Yeah.
Anyways. Whoa. That was so not about bird watching. No, or really. But that's what this book's about. It's really cool. Being You, I've been talking about before. You can go read it.
I didn't have like a very specific what did you learn this week, but I thought we'd play a fun little game that I came across on. Guess where? TikTok. Classic. No, but it was really fun. And actually, it's about connecting our consciousnesses. Okay,
cool. Good segue.
You might have seen it. Okay, basically the rules of this game are that we're both going to, on the count of three, say a word. Any random word. The goal of the game is to ultimately say the same word out loud at the same time. But every time we say 3, 2, 1, we're going to say a different word.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
Should we close our eyes?
Yeah, we can totally close our eyes. So we're not cheating and like using facial cues.
Well, I'm just curious. Like, when the people do this on TikTok, are they just eyes open? Actually,
yeah,
no,
but sometimes they're staring into space.
No, you're right, though. It's not. I was thinking like, so we would just both say like camera because it's in front of us. But it's like,
yeah, don't say the things in the room because that.
Okay.
Just we'll give ourselves enough time to think of a word. But then it does kind of become a strategy thing where you're like, hey, what connects these two words? Like, you're not just randomly hoping you say the same thing. Like, if I said plant and you said, I don't know.
No, let's just play it. Okay. I get it.
You get it, right?
Okay. So, yeah.
So take a second. I'm going to think of a word as well. Okay, let me think. Oh my God, I can't look in the room because I'm just going to say something that's in this room. Okay. You ready? So, I'll say 3, 2, 1, and we'll both say a word out loud.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, umbrella.
Moon.
Okay. So now it's like,
we're just gonna keep going. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I need time to think about what connects those.
Oh, I thought it was like, oh, it's not like a...
No,
boom,
you're
boom.
Supposed to like think and strategize now. Oh, like, now what connects connect moon both. And umbrella? Because we want
okay,
we
I
want the
it.
Next word we say to be the same.
Okay, I think this could work.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Cloud. Okay, do it again.
3, 2, 1.
Rain. Whoa! Okay, that's fine.
We did that really fast.
Okay, let me try and explain it one more time for myself and then do it. We are going to try and say the same word, but by randomly saying a word each time and hoping that our thoughts bring it together.
It's like the first time it's random, but after that, you're trying to think of what connects these two so that when we say the next words, we're like getting hopefully closer and closer to saying the same
word.
Okay. You want to do one more?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1.
Fence.
Blue.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Sky.
Paint.
Okay. Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Brush.
Color.
Okay.
Okay, we have to pause now. Brush and color.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
painting.
Art. Oh, so close.
Okay. Okay. Oh, God. Okay, ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Museum.
Warhol. Oh, shit.
We're never
going
to get this
Oh,
one.
No. Okay, you're going.
Okay. Oh, okay. 3, 2, 1.
New
artist.
York.
Oh, okay. We should give up on
this. No. Keep going. Stop. Okay. New York artist? We can do that. Who's a New York artist? Okay. Oh, shit.
No, that's what I was going to. Okay,
oh,
ready?
No, I don't know. Okay.
You know it, Greg. Okay,
go.
You know it.
Go.
3, 2, 1.
Lady Gaga! We did it! Oh, my God. Say you're a millennial gay without saying you're a millennial gay.
I know. New York artist, we know it.
That's so funny. How annoyed would you be if I went like super downtown so East Village artsy and I was like, oh, wow. Like, I don't even like, I'm sadly like, can't even think of it. I'm like, Victor Karamovsky's new portrait work?
I would kill you. I'd be like, I have no reference points for that. Okay, we're going to take a break and then we will come back and talk all about birds.
This ad is brought to you by BetterHelp. Here at Side Note, you know we're obsessed with therapy, and that's what BetterHelp is all about. Is there something preventing you from achieving your goals? Can't pinpoint exactly what interferes with your happiness? Try BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your personal needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can connect in a safe and private online environment, which means no more uncomfortable waiting rooms. It's so convenient you can start communicating with a licensed therapist in less than 48 hours. You can send a message to your counselor anytime, and what's even better is BetterHelp is available worldwide. If you want to start living a happier life today, as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/sidenote. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sidenote for 10% of your first month.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
Study time.
So. We're chatting about tweet. Not Twitter. Ugh, don't want to hear any more about that because of what's in the news. But we're talking about birds, and do you not know what's in the news?
No, I do, and I don't want to talk about it.
No, I don't want to talk about it either.
Well, we have an Elon Musk episode where you defended him, so go back and listen to that if you want to hear some interesting.
So embarrassing, and you know what? You know what that shows? Growth.
Yeah, that's
okay?
True.
That's true. Is actually beautiful about
people still talk about our Elon Musk episode, though. I still get messages from people, like whenever people make fun of Elon Musk online, and they're just like, this reminds me of that podcast episode. So like, I think we're very heated. I think it's like one people remember and they know that I hate him. And I can't. Do.
Okay, we're going to.
Anyway, we're not
going to talk about
the
this.
The opposite of the stress and anxiety of Twitter and Elon Musk is bird watching people.
Bring it down.
Let me tell
birds.
You. It is the best form of meditation for people who don't know how to meditate because it forces you to be meditative. It forces you to forest bathe, which scientifically is very great to help any sort of cure like depression or anxiety.
Okay.
But it's like you're doing this thing like for people like me who need to be doing things all the time. It's like it's crazy how it like
it's active does but yet meditative.
It does the things that like meditation and like being in nature and all these things, all that shit you're told to do, but you're like, well, what, how am I, you expect me to just go meditate in the park? Like, how? Yeah. For people like me, it's like, and maybe people can relate to this. Oh, you grab, we'll get to it. You don't need binoculars, but they'll come in later on in the episode as a really fun thing.
Okay.
You just take yourself to the park and you look for birds and you will feel amazing.
I was just going to say a couple things. One, obviously Greg's leading this pod because I'm not a birder. Not
you
not
are.
It. No, I'm a birder by proxy now. Like, yeah. I only have learned it through you. I don't do it on my own. But to start off, I'm curious, and I hope this doesn't come off the wrong way. Like, what the
why
fuck
are you
doing?
So weird.
No, my honest question is, why birds and not any other type of animal?
Oh my god. Okay, I have an answer.
You know what I mean? To start, and I think I might know why, but I'm curious for you.
It's purely geographic location. I live in the city of Toronto.
Okay.
So I think this is a bird watching episode catered to people who live in the greater Toronto area or southern Ontario. But
birding in general still. Don't scare away the rest of the audience, Greg. Come back.
No, when we start to talk about like the birds that you'll see and like what you can do to see them and stuff like that, I'm going to be focusing on where I've learned the most about how to do it, which is in southwestern Ontario. But my point is that according to like migration patterns and science, because it's like so large, people in New York could also like in Michigan, like we'll all have the same like relationship to the birds that are living around us. So I am obsessed with whales. I don't have access to going to see whales. Mm-hmm. I don't live near an ocean. And there are actually such a vast, like insane things happening in the skies above you of birds, completely different all of the animals, because they are literal dinosaurs who have been here longer than we have as mammals. They are the most, they're a specific creature that is around the world, so everyone can bird watch, but not everyone can go to a savannah and see a goddamn lion, because sadly there's like 48 left. Okay. Whatever.
So then my question about that is, because I do think you're totally right, and there are so many, it's like such a diverse array of species, and it changes through the year, which is really nice to see
if you live where we live.
Yeah, because we live in like a seasonal,
which is so fun
place. But you know, not to like toot my own horn, but sometimes I go to Hyde Park and I do meditate, and I
look at
the squirrels, and I was like, why not like some other kind of why aren't other
there's
creatures?
Because it's like there's black squirrels, there's brown squirrels, there's red squirrels.
So is part of your bird watching that you see lots of birds?
Yeah, you see lots of
them.
Or
is that what you're wanting to get out of it? Or would you be it's like, with just seeing like one little cute bird?
No, you can be okay with seeing one little cute bird, but it's so much more like dynamic and interesting because of the fact that there's so many different species you can see. Like there's only like when you look at a squirrel, like in Hyde Park, for example, you're going to see the same type of species of squirrel over and over and over. Right. But at that same moment in Hyde Park, I mean, I went on eBird the other day and someone had seen 42 different species of birds in the park.
Okay.
So
accessible.
And they're flying.
Last summer, but I think I started too late, like in the fall more, I started taking a class like on insects, and I was like, why not that? Because obviously there's so many diverse
insects,
but it's probably a lot harder to just like start digging stuff up and look at things.
And I was looking for a hobby in the pandemic, and I was like going crazy and sad. And I was like, what can I do? And I was like, I could start looking at birds, because all I'm being told to do is go on hikes and be outside, because you can't be like inside or else you're going to kill your grandma. I was like, yeah, okay. And also I'm scared because I feel like every time I hang out with my family, I'm going to kill them. It was April. And it was, so it's like insects maybe just weren't as obvious to me for some reason, even though that you're right. They're outside under like a rock, which is where I was.
Maybe that's the expansion of birding is into what are other, once you've like, not that you're going to master birding, because I'm sure you always will be finding.
But you're right.
Things,
then that's when you start looking at the trees around the birds. Or
that's
the
something that
insects.
I think it was maybe not last summer, but the summer before, we went to a cottage and they had like a handbook on books, and we started trying to Yeah, wasn't it like a book that you would open and it would show you like, this is a cedar tree and here's how
Said a handbook on books, meant on trees. A handbook on trees.
Oh, whoops.
I'm like, a book on books.
I was like, yeah, duh.
I was like, you were stupid? The book where I opened it up and it would show you these different books and the types of books.
Well, you know what?
Hardcover, softcover.
What's
book.
A tree made out of? I mean, what's a book made out of?
Tree, carbon, air.
Trees are books, okay? And they're actually the books of life because they tell us about history.
Yeah.
They tell us about the climate, modern day as well. They host families of trees and squirrels. Okay, trees, why not trees?
Yeah, no, okay, you're
so
right.
Anyway, no, but
it was a book on trees.
And it was really fun to be like, I obviously love being around trees, but I don't know much about them. So it was fun to be like, oh my gosh, like this kind of pine has 3 needles sticking out. And I never realized, oh, some of them have 6. Like,
you're right. Like, what? Like, okay, so that is an option. You could do get a similar sort of like forest bathing, mental health, like, proven through a lot of psychology studies, kick out of the same thing if you were tree
actively, like, kind of finding,
being like a naturalist who was like, oh, I'm gonna look at the different, you're right, species of trees, species of like weeds and shrubs in Hyde Park. There's so many. That's so cool. And you could do it with insects.
Yeah.
But I think that my point is literally I arbitrarily chose one and then I just haven't looked back and it's been so fulfilling that it's like, okay, you're right. Those are also probably other great options I just didn't think of.
No, I think, that's why I was like, I don't want to come out the wrong way because I do think bird watching is so cool. And I was thinking, like, it's seemingly the most popular of those. Like, I don't really hear.
See, that's what's interesting. Like, maybe you're right. Because, like, I did go on, like, a hike with a naturalist in Toronto and was so fun. It was like me and my like birding friend Allie. We were like, oh, it was so fun. So he knew everything about the birds, but he knew everything about the
like wildlife
plants.
In general,
like, and I actually think he knew more about the plants. So maybe sometimes when you're seeing,
you start to connect
a birder. Well,
you might learn a lot with birds too, to be like, that what kind of tree does that bird usually go on? Oh, and I'm gonna learn about that tree.
My point is, there are probably actually people who go to Hyde Park and they know a bit about birds, but they know a lot more about plants.
You know what,
that's true.
That what a beautiful job to just be like somebody who works in nature and gets to share.
Yeah. Are you kidding us? Me and Ali say, we're like, we want to be park rangers so bad.
Why don't we just do that now? Would we be so much happier?
It's also apparently really hard to get a job as a park ranger at Hyde Park. You're like, think about the demand.
No, you're right. I just mean like, but why aren't we trying to do that?
Cause there's not that many jobs.
But are you choosing things based on like just I'm just saying like generally, if you want something, go get it, girl.
Okay, no.
I'm like, if I want to be a park ranger, I can do that.
Yeah, no. I literally, me and Allie are like, we want to be park rangers, and we looked it up, and it's actually really hard.
So what? Lots of things are hard. It's hard to be a YouTuber.
Okay, I'm just saying, that's not why I'm dropping everything to be a park ranger, because it's like, I would drop everything, and they'd be like, okay, cool, you have to go back to school. And they're like, you want one in Hyde Park? No, honey, you're going to North Bay.
So what? That's beautiful.
No, that's where you'd be like, no, it's hard to live in North Bay for 365 days a year.
Not if you love nature.
Okay, Midge, you're going on, is not. I'm trying to get people to bird, not be like, I'm going to commit to live in North Bay if I like nature. I want this to be accessible.
Okay. Here's another question for you. This will be more normal. What speak more about like what it is about birding.
Okay, so
that just like captures your imagination.
Oh, captures my imagination.
Or just makes you happy, or like what? Because obviously lots of people start hobbies and then those hobbies minimize, right? You get excited and then it goes away. But I feel like you got into it and you've done
it
consistently.
It's addictive. And you're so right. Like, I'm definitely one of those annoying people in my life who starts a hobby and like, well, maybe like a month in be like, oh, I'm a potter. Like, I make pottery now. And then
you're not like,
okay,
that.
Maybe I'm not, but I'm saying that's a common thing that can happen and it's happened in my life. And you're right. It didn't for this.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Like there is, okay. So now what?
And now that not that the pandemic's over, but obviously things are much more accessible. You can be doing, but you're still interested in
birding. I think like, it is truly, going back to what I said at the beginning, forcing you to do the thing that we all know, which is go into nature and meditate and like sort of focus on something very acutely that's happening around you. Like, no meditation is like stare at a candle, stare at a wall. Mm-hmm. You're literally in the middle of the forest and then you're trying to find this like kind of complicated flying thing. And really like what always it ends with is like this intense moment of like stillness where you're staring at it. And it's like that moment is like, oh my God, that's like the drug. Every like, even us science podcast, psychology podcast, it's like they always end by being like, you just got to have gratitude and go into nature and stare at something. Like literally, like, you know what I mean? Things. So it's like, just do a gratitude journal and then go birding and you're literally nature staring at something. So it's like,
and it's active. Like you're up and about, not that you're like running, but you're walking, you're moving. is like combining all these things that we're constantly told are like really positive and healthy.
So it's, so that's like my main thing is it's that, which is sort of like my first point was like the nature bathing thing. But the other thing that's cool is it's like what I now am like kind of think almost like the way people talk about when they have kids, where they're like the whole, your whole fabric of like the way you look at the world changes. And you're like, I'm never loved something more. Like there's just like this, like people like they talk about that shift.
Yeah.
Like they're like a mini, yeah, I'm not comparing. There's a mini, like I'm like the before I knew what was going on above my head. Like I had no idea.
Line for you.
Like when I go into Hyde Park now, I'm like, so I took my friend Ami this past weekend and I saw him have the moment where he was like, holy shit, this is actually super cool. Cause he had no idea. I was there's a northern flicker. Like I've been wanting to see this thing for so long. He watched me like freak out and run. And then when I like got the binoculars and saw it, it was crazy. It's like this weird bird that has like these, I was like, that just came from like Costa Rica. And he was just like, what? I was like, that arrived here today from Costa Rica, like a quarter, like I'm not even kidding, like
just got off the flight.
Well, it was either here like yesterday or tomorrow, because like the way we are in spring, right. I did not expect to see it. It's definitely the first northern flicker at Hyde Park, and I've been wanting to see it for so long. And when I saw it, and when he saw it, it was like big. It had this crazy thing out the back of his head that was red, and I was like, if you saw that in Costa Rica, you'd be like, oh, that's my god, a cool bird. And now you're seeing it weirdly in like bland gray Hyde Park. You could tell he was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, a bunch of woodpeckers just kept coming like right beside us. And you could tell he was like, is this normal? I'm like, yeah, you're in the birding part. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he's like adjusting and seeing like crazy birds. And then I'm kind of like, let's go home. And he's not wanting to leave because he's realizing like holy shit. Like,
so
wait,
nice.
If I stop and look now. And then, sometimes I'm like, that is actually like not a downy woodpecker. Like that's we saw a red headed woodpecker.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I'd never seen.
Oh, never mind. I thought you were going to say there's also a point where he might be like, when you're a beginner, every bird is also exciting. Not that ever should not be, but the common ones, he would be like, oh my God, there's one. Or I would be like, that.
Sorry, that was like what the woodpecker, that was like what my woodpecker story was. It was like woodpeckers beside us. And I was literally like, oh yeah, you didn't know? Like, you know what I mean? I was just like, oh, you're excited by that? You're excited by that downy? Oh, you're excited by the three downies nearby? Greg. Girl, they're always running. Just gotta look. And then I'm like, but in the distance, that's a redheaded. Now that's rare. But no, okay. So then the other thing I want to say is that me and my friend always make, there is truly birding culture, and it is sometimes like so glorious. And it's just like a wise white person, like in a really nice Gore-Tex with like a huge camera who's 70, like passing on knowledge. And you're like, I'll take it. But sometimes there's a bit of like, oh, did you see the first goldfinch? Like there's a little bit of like that.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
But I guess like every field kind of can have that. Like there's always going to be the people who grab into things and want to be the best at it. But like the true birders are going to be the ones who just like can appreciate it actually for its beauty and don't care to like brag about what they
exactly. Think. And I do feel like most of the people we've met have been true birders who are just beautiful and glorious. But there's also a hilarious thing where I'm like, I don't know what happens like 70 years ago, but everyone's old. Like it's like you're either I was like, was everyone birding when they were 30 in our age? And like it's like this thing that doesn't happen anymore. I'm like, why is everyone 60 plus birding?
Because it's
start when they're 60 plus.
I think so.
Okay, I didn't know if they were like raised to bird. No, you know what I mean?
It could be a generational thing, you mean?
It's just like
what happened 70 years ago? Everyone's old. I was like, that's
no,
what
I don't know. I was thinking about it backwards. I was like, why are these? I don't know. I guess it's truly me and my friend, and everyone's 60 plus and very white.
So I think it's, I can't necessarily speak to the white part, but in terms of age, I think it is a low impact, like easy, stress-free thing that like, also if you're retired, it's probably like easier to just like be slow and take time appreciating things around you. We're like in a society and culture that as young people, it's just like, go, go, go. You're at work, you're at home, you're going out, you're doing all these things. I think when people age, not only are they more wise, but now they're also just like out of the rat race.
Yeah,
and can just slow down and appreciate life.
That's so crazy, the rat race. Also, and also the whiteness thing, I'm like, oh, that's just literal white supremacy in the way systems are built. Like there's so many, I've realized like even getting into birding, like there's so many black birders who were like, we weren't even fucking allowed in like parks that long ago. Like being even culturally like in a park as a black person, like some like white person would call the cops on you and shit. Like there's like actual reasons why it's white,
like systemic,
old and white.
Yeah, I mean, I like most things.
Which is so fucking sad. That's when you realize that humans are truly the worst, because yeah, it's like you're taking nature and you're doing this dumb, insane, racist shit to then ruin fucking nature, like culturally for people. Anyways, I'm just like, white supremacy. Okay, hot take. White supremacy, everyone, is bad.
So fully lost what I was.
We were just talking about the culture of it and saying that is really old and that some people can be annoying about it, but for the most part, they're not. For the most part, everyone's just happy to see a bird. And a saying that I read in a book was, someone was like, "What's your favorite bird?" And they said, "The one I'm looking at."
Oh, right, yeah. Now. You made me read that bird. I mean, God, I am on a roll today.
But you have to talk. Okay.
That birds book, are really on trees, which are books.
That book was really great, though. And they also was interestingly had a whole plot line about birding. I forget.
Oh, is that what
I feel you're... bad, though, because it's like downstairs. It's really famous. Literally, go to Indigo right now. It'll be like on the number one.
Book. No, it's not a bird book. It's
no, but it's like book. Very much a pro birding, because it was it's like astonishment or something. It's very like,
oh yeah,
I feel bad.
I think know. That is no.
We'll put it in the show notes. Put it in the show notes. Do that, but birding's a big part of that book. But yeah, I don't know, and I also want to talk about your experiences and the certain birds you're gonna see right now is what, because I think right now, if you're listening to this, is when you should start birding, because it gets real good right now.
Okay, I'll talk about my birding experience. To be honest, like it is interesting. Like, definitely have a little bit of that same line you do, where it's like you expose me to it, and now I am more likely to look up and be like, "Whoa!" Before I would walk around and literally not even see these. Or you're driving, you see it, or you're whatever, you see birds, but you don't process them, right? And like, there was a time when last maybe spring, you were like, listen to how loud it is outside. Like, every bird is like,
yeah.
And you were like, it's not always like this. Like, in a month, this won't be like. And that had never occurred to me before, that obviously, you know, you picture spring and birds tweeting and that coming back. But it never occurred to me that once it happened, I just thought once it's warm, they're tweeting all summer.
Yeah, yeah.
But you were like, no, this thing is like when they're like mating and having babies and like. Yeah. I would just, but made me also realize, oh, that's so weird. I never thought about it before.
Also, what we both realized in that moment was when we were both like, how the hell did we walk down the street and not hear this? Like, it's like, you're literally, it's but so interesting. Do. No, but that's what my point about the plane of consciousness shifts. You're all of a sudden walking down your street, which you've walked down every spring, and you've thought it was quiet. Of course, there's birds chirping. You're not like, it's quiet, but you have your headphones on, you take your headphones off. You're not thinking about it. If you, once you start to bird, or even now, you might realize you're walking down your street in spring and it's like fucking loud. Like, if you took someone from a quiet place or that. Maybe who hadn't heard birds before and put them there, they'd be like, what the hell is all of that screaming? Yeah. And like, and screaming, it sounds intense, but like also like gorgeous calls. And then you start to hear it. And then it's just like, you're just like mind blown about how many birds are around you at all times in spring. And then on top of it is really great, because a big part of birding is hearing where the bird is and then seeing it. So outside of spring, it's really hard to bird because they're making less noise. So you kind of are just like have to stop and wait for like trees to move. So when they are mating, it's also helpful for birding because A, there's not so many leaves on the trees to block your view. And B, because they're mating, they're making noise and you can like get your binoculars or your bare eye to them if you're in a park, because they come close and you can like see them, which maybe if they weren't making noise, it would be harder to find.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So that's why like spring, it's like people bird like, I see. Hard.
Like something that I was thinking about, I don't know why I keep saying things that are like kind of like, and this is why I don't like birding. So I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to like hear your perspective.
Yeah, no, but like, right? Why are you thinking that? Do you actually think that? Or you're just like saying you're randomly just thinking about that?
Yeah. I just have all these questions about like why you like certain parts of it, just out of interest of what it brings to you. Because I find that birds for me, I do think they're beautiful and I do really like birding, but they're less accessible to me as creatures than maybe because they feel further removed from humans. Like,
then what?
I don't know.
No, you're right. I know what
like
you
that's
mean.
What I'm saying when I'm like looking at a squirrel. I still think that about a bird
because you have a mammal connection.
Maybe honestly, but or even trees.
We have a more common ancestor.
I guess no, but I feel that way about trees. So like maybe it is just everyone has like the thing that they connect to more. And for me, like seeing a tree, I feel like connected to earth. And seeing a bird, I do, but not in like not in the same way as I think I actually, if I was to get into this you space, I might lean to plants first. And as a result,
yeah, know what? Remember how you were like, I'm going to get into insects and then you never did? Maybe because it was the wrong one. You should have gotten into trees.
No, oh, yeah, I just choked to death.
Because then you could, that sounds like that's the
thing I might
you
try that.
Like.
Yeah.
Insects
no, I like
are
both.
Also far removed in the.
And I'm also like partially wanted to do insects because I'm afraid of them and I thought it would maybe help me like learn to be less afraid.
But maybe you were too afraid you didn't even start.
Yeah, it's true. I mean? I know, but I started too late in the season, I think, where it was like.
No, you were talking about doing it and I'm like, yeah, this is the right time because the summer is when insects are the big thing.
Maybe, okay, I'm just trying to come up with an excuse for why I quit, okay? I'm one of those people who does start and then just quits.
No, I'm, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, it's probably because you were literally scared because it's scary because they're scary.
True.
Choose trees.
Yeah, okay. I'm that's choosing trees. Point. I'm choosing trees. But yeah, so that's why I'm like curious, like when you look at a bird, do you feel that way, connect that way?
That's so rude. Like, right. I think that that's, no, that's I'm like, so rude. No, me saying like, no, I was like, no, I don't connect fucking birds. Ew.
Oh, I thought that's why you did it.
No, well, I'm like, that's
so
what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say
the activity.
No, like, okay. So what I'm saying is like, you're right. There is like a certain connection to, honestly, it's a weird probably anthropomorphization of animals that are cuter than birds, like literally like pandas and like like, and even squirrels are like
they're,
I'm just saying, like there are definitely cuter things than birds. Like birds, my point is I'm not looking
they're
at
like
them
dinosaurs
and,
yeah like they
yeah so I'm agreeing with you. I'm like I'm like, if you think I'm going there and having this moment where I'm like that's the cutest thing I've ever seen, like that doesn't happen all the time, but you do start to notice that some are really freaking cute, like like to the point where you're like, okay, like that bird is objectively ugly and like cool that I saw it and that it's rare, but like, ew, what the fuck. But then there's like other things like swallows, which I actually think look like beluga whales. When you look at them in binoculars, they have similar, they're like, I'm literally giggling because they're so cute.
Aww.
So it's like, okay, there are the cute ones that give you that feeling that I do say, I do have those moments where I'm like, oh my God, I love you. And then some are truly scary and hideous. And hawks, I saw a hawk just like devour a squirrel the other day. So I was obviously like, that seems mean. Like, it's like, so it's not like you're always in love
with
them.
You chose carnivores.
Yeah, exactly. They're meat eating birds.
I guess they're not carnivores, but they're omnivores, right? Some
of them. No, but some of them do. Yeah, exactly. My point. Some of them like do eat meat and some insects and seeds. And okay, my point is that that isn't part of why I like birding. It's like there are the cute ones, but it's like truly like so much more about the process, which I think is an important thing about all aspects of life. It's like, if you want to be a creative, you have to enjoy the process.
Yeah.
You can't be like looking just for and wanting result, like this experience of, oh, I want a cute, like I want something from the animal, which is cute. It's like, no, it's actually the whole process.
I just
want to
like
better.
Not defend myself, but
no, I was agreeing.
I didn't mean just cute though. I meant like sometimes when I touch a tree, I'm like, this is it like a spiritual connection to like nature, that when you've taken me bird watching or I come and I do see the birds, I'm like, whoa, like it just makes me think about life and our consciousness, like what we were talking about earlier and how we relate to this planet. And it like brings me into that space where I want to like care more about the planet when I see like a bird or a tree.
So
and that's
go.
Like spiritual. So I didn't just mean cute. And I was like, do you have that?
Sorry, I was using that as a bad term for like, probably
like
spiritual moments. My point is that some birds are actually so ugly and hideous that you just, it's harder to have a spiritual moment because you're just like actually laughing at it. You're like, what the fuck? Okay. But yeah, of course I do have spiritual moments with the birds and with trees and with so many things in nature. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I feel like I was thinking about how I'm like, oh, it's also church, because I walked by a church the other day and it was like Thursday and all these people were like running up the stairs right before Good Friday. Sorry, it was last night. And it was like this big church. And I was like, that's so nice. Like, I just want to go in and watch that. Like, it was like a Catholic pre-Good Friday thing. And I was like, they're all like conglomerating to do what I do in High Park. Like in their own way. It's like, I was like, that's cool. I kind of wanted to go watch it and like be like, oh, they're all just coming here to slow down, to look at the world, to like assess their life, assess the world. Obviously, it's a Catholic church.
I mean, like,
so I'm like,
think
that's crazy.
Oh my
like,
God, that's
shit.
It's the comparison of like bird people who talk about birding and like are competitive about it versus people who actually do it for the right reasons. And I feel like the church is like that too. There's people who just go because it's like you want to be seen. You're like supposed to be at church. It's like what the right thing to
or,
do.
Or, yeah.
But some people go to church to like actually have a really spiritual experience. Like,
yeah. I think that like, you're right. There's obviously.
I grew up in the Catholic system. I know. Yeah. A lot of people go to church.
Hot take.
They're not good people.
Hot take here. White supremacy is bad. Also, hot take here. Catholic church is bad too. We know it is. It is bad. And you're right. Some people do go to Catholic church and probably like are really having are a genuinely self, like genuinely good people and doing like the right thing.
Yeah. It probably brings them in connection.
The institution, not so good.
There.
And definitely the
institution. We said it.
And I will come forth and say the institution of the Catholic Church is definitely worse than bird watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's also true.
Oh, wow.
But my point is that I do think also bird watching is a little bit like church for me. And that does, it makes me do those things.
Yeah, that's cool. Wow.
Okay, so here, I just want to do some quick birds that people are going to have to keep their eye open for.
Okay.
Okay, so you're living in Toronto, you're living in New York, you're living in Detroit. Yeah. You've got pigeons all the time. Those are actually called rock doves. That is a fun thing to do while walking with your friends. Go, oh my God, it's a gorgeous rock dove. They're all going, where? And you're like, you can't see the beauty in that pigeon. And you show them the pigeon. And they go, that's a dove? And you go, that's a dove.
Actually, you helped me to look at pigeons and think they're beautiful.
So know why I...
They're so common. They're that's so... Why people,
and they have the really cool like iridescent feathers that like are blue and green. I'm like,
and
that's
cool.
And
sometimes they're like spotted white and brown too. Yeah. Like they're all different shades
also,
of
they're thriving in our mess. So good on them. Like we're the mess that they're thriving on and they're just lucky. So they were actually brought here from Europe and they're doing super well because they'd like... weren't really meant to be here.
Because what they're like essentially like, do they not fly that much? I know they can fly, but
yeah, no, they're just great at their stomachs can digest a lot of like our waste and things like that, and they're not like, they're just way better fit to live in like our capitalist like climate change societies. Same with European starlings. If you're in North America, those are from Europe as well, hence the name, and they do so well, and they're everywhere in your city, and they have these really light white spots on them if you look at them closely, but they're like where you see pigeons, you'll probably see them. They're like blackbirds. So those are like the early ones,
like in the trees and stuff. I mean, yeah, they could be on the ground,
and you kind of don't notice them. Those are one of the first ones where I was like, oh my God, like from my book, like European starling, like when I went out my front door the first time. Right. You know what I mean? Like when you don't have to go to a park.
Yeah.
And they are like kind of cool when you look at them. And then robins, obviously you see everywhere with like the orange bottoms. And then there's sort of sparrows everywhere that like intense birders can go like chipping sparrow, house sparrow, like song sparrow. Right. But I can't do that. And the most common one's called a house sparrow. So I'm always just like, if someone asks me, I'm just like a house sparrow. But there are actually like so many different types.
Right.
But they are also, you'll see them if you're just walking down the street to like go to the convenience store. You'll see like,
oh yeah, I see they're everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are just
they're
like,
little and they're cute.
And they're super cute. Like if you stop and just even birded in the shrub down your street, it is fun.
They're so cute.
Like you start to look at them and you're like, oh my God. And you see their little heartbeats like going so fast.
Like, they just do little jumps.
Yeah. Those ones are really cute. And they also, if you watch them, you're like, they're just like actually living, like kind of the way I'm living. And they're just trying to eat, but they just are able to like eat so much more of our garbage. But they're like really close to us in a shrub and they're cute. Yeah.
Oh my God. They're so cute.
So it's that's like the basics. And that's year round too. So the thing that made me think about, the pigeons as rock doves is when a really cool thing that you'll find, and this is like all over America and Canada and in the winter, are mourning doves, which is like mourning, like because they're mourning, because their calls are like, like they're like sad.
Is that actually like,
well, I don't know, that's like what we just like figured. We're like, and then they're like, I'm sad,
if you
free.
Ever hear that.
But they're like this bird that are like kind of like early bird and coveted because they could be anywhere, like, and they're year round. So if you're in the winter and there's not much birds to see, you can see them like in like a pine tree in Toronto. And when you look at them in the rock, you're like, okay, I waited so long. It's a pigeon. Like like it literally just looks like a pigeon with
like
two
like
extra
fancy
dots.
Pigeon.
It's like honestly,
also it's a clean pigeon.
Yeah, but even when I look at it, I'm like, that's ugly. Like it's like, it's not what I mean? I'm like, it's in a tree and you're like, and you hear the call and you see it and you're like, wow, pigeons are doves because you aren't that different, morning dove.
Yeah.
But they're really cool because when they fly, their wings flapping sounds like almost like a duck call. Like it goes like, so people are like, oh, what? That's when you most notice them is when they're flying. People are like, oh, look at that bird. That sounds so cool. But it's actually the physics of the wind of their wings, and they're actually silent from their mouth.
Yeah.
And it's cool. You start to see
it. I didn't believe it at first.
Yeah.
You're convinced the noise is either another bird making tweeting sounds.
Yeah.
Or that bird tweeting while it's flying. But then you're like, it's crazy that it's the wings flapping that's making that sound. It's so cool.
So if you're in Toronto in the winter walking around, it's like a cold day, but it's quiet, and all of a sudden, because that's where there will be a lot of mourning doves around, you hear like, like out of nowhere in the winter when it's quiet. Yeah, exactly. That was it. Do that again. That was like literally, that's so good.
I can do a Luke call too, by the way.
Do it.
Okay, wait.
It's that.
Really hard to not laugh.
Okay, but it was so good. That is exactly it. That is crazy. Like, are you a beatboxer? How many times have you heard that?
I was just, I don't know.
Exactly what they said. That was really cool. Let me try. Like, it was like, I can't do it. Wow.
Okay, I can do a blue jay.
Okay.
No.
Oh.
Doesn't it do that?
Yeah.
Sometimes they have lots of noises, though.
And they're also year-round.
I love blue jays.
Blue jays
but
in the winter.
That's just my bias towards, like, I love a colorful, bright bird.
Sorry. No, you're allowed to love that. Blue jays are freaking cool.
They're so cool. And blue being, like, a very... Did you know?
Unique.
They're not blue.
Color and they're gray. Like,
if you take their feathers and put them up to light, in a way, they're brown.
Brown.
I think. I just saw a TikTok on this. Okay. Don't quote me.
Whoa, he's like, the birding episode's been taken over.
Someone had feathers.
No, that makes total sense. It's
like the way the light hits it.
So, and they're also, another thing, like, because they're here all winter, like, seeing a blue jay against vibrant snow, you're like, whoa, that is intense. Like,
and cardinals, blue jays and cardinals, the red and blue in there. And it's, like, vibrant.
Yeah. And they are still fun to see. Like, I feel bad. Like, sometimes we'll be birding. We'll be like, oh, yeah, just a cardinal. But I'm like, no, we're always so, like, cardinals are such an easy, exciting thing because it's, like, this red thing, again, year round, red on snow, like, red. It's like, it's cool. You're just like, whoa, what is that?
Absolutely gorgeous. And you know what has made me appreciate the robin recently, which I'm always, is like a common one that you learn really young to distinguish, right? Because I didn't know any other birds, but like I knew a robin.
Yeah. Many a children's book's got a robin in it.
And then so I think they've become a little bit like pigeons to me in that you're like, oh, I see it everywhere. No, but then recently I realized they have so many unique calls. I was like listening to a thing about the robin's calls and it's like, half the sounds you hear are like these robins doing different calls.
Cool. So, see?
I know. She's like, whoa, that's a robin's noise. Oh, that's a robin noise. That's a robin noise. Like, it's cool when you realize how like diverse one bird's sounds can be.
Also, robins are so cool because they're also orange is amazing.
It is, but especially sometimes I feel like spring. It's not as, it can be really vibrant, but when I think of like a blue jay and a cardinal, they're like, they're like iridescent. Like,
and robins are. Iridescent. Yeah.
Means like to glow or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Also, robins are a sign of spring. That's why. Because they are actually like the leaving in the winter, whereas cardinals and blue jays aren't. Right. So they don't represent anything of time passing.
I see.
That's why robins are. It's a sign, and they're early birds that come back, and they survive well.
They represent the changing of the season.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why they go so often in stories, because they're like
metaphors. Yeah, I think so. Because a blue jay never leaves, and neither does a cardinal. Mm. And they're all vibrant colors.
Oh, know something else that I never knew before I thought about birding? Like, I always knew about birds migrating. So it's like, you know, the geese are going down to Florida or like whatever birds leave here that you don't see in the winter. But until you started birding, it never occurred to me that other birds north of us migrate just
the dark-eyed
chunko. And I'm like, that's so cool. I only ever pictured like all the birds, like as a kid, you're just like, oh yeah, the birds leave Canada in winter. But it's like, no, the ones that are used to the even more cold just come down
that
here.
That was like one of the first cool birding moments we had together. I remember that because you were there when like I
was like, this bird's
like,
only here in the winter.
Yeah.
And then it goes north.
Yeah.
Like, but it never occurred to me.
And so it's like, those are similar, literally, like, because robins and dark-eyed juncos are the types of birds that survive well with humans that you will see truly on your streets that do represent time passing.
And I haven't seen a dark-eyed junco in a while.
Yeah,
is that truly? It's gone up north.
Yeah, but they. Yeah, technically.
I still see the house sparrows all the time, but the winter, I remember always being like, "Oh, dark-eyed junco," and now and is it junco? We gotta learn how to say that.
Oh,
one.
I say everything wrong. Sorry, but it's junco. junco.
Yeah,
dark-eyed junco.
I think I heard it once as junco, but I've only realized recently, like, you put the bird feeder stuff out, and I haven't seen any of them yet.
Yeah, they're probably gone. They went back up north because it's like actually they would want it to be more cold based on what they eat. It's so cool. Yeah, I didn't, and that was a bird feeder thing in the winter, just being like, "What's that bird?" Using my binoculars, using a book, and then being like, oh my God, it just migrated here in December. Mm. Like, that's so cool. I'd never thought of that before either. It's not like I knew that.
Two other things I just thought of amazing about birds. why can they just sit in the snow? Like, they just, like, they're not, like, I know, not, it's just the ones that when you're like, it's cold outside and you're just sitting outside.
I know, and they think seem about so a lot small. Of animals, but I know.
And then remember in university, we learned about like how birds transfer heat, like why they can walk on really cold surfaces.
Yeah, they transfer their heat in their legs, not
like
in
they
their
stop
feet.
The circulation. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like the feet can be cold and then the circulation just turns around earlier. Yeah. Is that it?
Yes, exactly. But the blood so cool. still goes, but they transfer the heat further yeah. up. Yeah, no, it's really smart. Birds are like they're so better adapted cool. to this world than we are. They truly have been around longer as a species. Hence, they can fly without burning fossil fuels. We, on the other hand, need to fly. If we want to go to Mexico, we're gonna have to take the frickin' planet with us. Also, another crazy birding moment when we saw great blue herons in Panama.
Oh yeah.
So that was a crazy moment for me too. Great blue herons, these like iconic birds that are around in the summer that even pre-birding, I was like, a great blue heron.
Because
like,
they're huge.
They're huge and they're common
enough.
And they
enough. Also, yeah, they just stand out the way they swoop low enough over like they're a lake.
Amazing or... birds. So like even before birding, I feel like we'd always be like, oh, remember yeah. Sharon the heron?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
So we go to Panama. Again, flying, burning fossil fuels left, right, and center. It's like looking out the window like, ooh, the Earth's beautiful. Just like pillaging it with like burning of coal. Get there. And then we're like, oh, I don't know. Maybe you're in another country. Like, let's look at birds. Like, we were kind of on like a hike. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, that bird. Oh, it looks so much like a great blue heron. And they were like, that is a great blue heron. I was like, what? And it was like in the winter. And they're like, yeah. And I like look it up. It's like great blue herons migrate from the lakes of Toronto, like to Panama. I'm like, that thing flew here.
That is
on
so wild.
The fish and the things it is trying to live off of. And I came here on this goddamn plane mm-hmm. and I'm questioning why it's here. I'm like, what's that bird? It's like, no, this yeah. is where I actually meant to live. That was really cool. I was like, oh my God, that is a great blue heron. That's crazy. And it could be the one that we see in the summer.
Yeah. To fly is just an amazing thing.
It's so amazing. That's why
I guess humans are, maybe that's another draw to birds, because flying, people just like crave the ability to just like fly on your own.
Yeah.
And like, and people have dreams about flying, and like they're often, if you could be granted like one magical power, people will pick to fly.
Know what it happened recently about birding that I like kind of was like, I'd never thought of that before, and was said in like a funny cheesy way that I like was like, what? And then when I realized, oh my God, that person was true, was right.
Right,
was like, I always assume if a bird is flying that it is like attempting to eat food, it's looking for food, it's like scanning, it's a hawk. Really cool hawks in Toronto, keep your eyes out. Like a hawk looking for a mouse. And then we were like in Colombia and we were on this boat with this girl who was just like funny, like just an American, so they chat a lot sometimes, you know, they don't ask you anything but they just chat. And I was just kind of like, hey, this person, she's talking, and there were like these birds near us flying. Yeah. And it was like, I was just looking at them, I was like, so nice. And I kind of just was like, oh, I wonder if they're doing that like for fun. And she just like looked at me, she's like, well, I'm a birder, and I can, the one thing I've learned is like, for sure, those birds, they're mostly flying for fun. And it was just like, I was like, okay, whoa. Like, first of all, like,
you gave her such a different voice than
but
she
it was
had.
Like, yeah, it was like, oh, I can't even do it. What's Arkansas accent? It's like, well, oh, I'm a birder there, too. But like, lives in Mexico. Anyways. And I kind of wanted to be like, oh, I'm actually a birder, too. But I didn't, because I just let her have it. And I was kind of like, well, she was a weird person. And then since then, I've been like, they're like flying for fun.
Totally.
Like, I'm like, I did, like, of course they are. They can freaking fly. Like, yeah. I always was just like, oh no, it's like always for work. Yeah. It's like, no, they're working. Like, that stupid thing's walking and looking at me with binoculars. See ya. I'm going to go freaking enjoy this wind. It's going to take no energy for me because I'm going to glide, honey. Like,
and
I'm fine. You're wrong.
Like when we were just in Colombia, we would see the pelicans go down on the waves and basically surf the waves without touching them. And then as the wave was about to break, they would come out of it.
And it's like, of course that was for fun. Imagine that was the option. Like I was there like waiting. I was like, what excursion could we do? Imagine the option was like going so freaking fast down a wave and like with your buddies perfectly going over it.
That's a video game.
Like that is the best. Well, I can't even fathom that feeling.
Well, that's why people surf. You could.
True.
You could fathom it surfing.
True. Wow.
Now you got to start surfing.
But I still need like a board made out of oil. I still need a polyester
board. There's a lot.
Board,
there's a lot
you know
to
what
get
I mean?
There, yeah.
That one's just born
surfing
with everything.
Surfing really scares me too.
Yeah. I was
I'm really afraid of sharks.
Truly almost died surfing when I first learned. Like I saw the person teaching space and they looked at me and they were like, running, like, oh my god, like that. And I was like, I'm fine. And then they were like, they're like, that could have been so bad, you need to get out.
Oh my god.
Because I had like you know how like the board is like connected to your ankle with a string?
Yeah.
We were in Ecuador and they were like, you have to hold on to this board at all times. Because if you let go of this board and there's a string and let it dangle with these waves. So I was just like, okay, fine. But then I was like holding it. I'm like, oh, this is kind of awkward. Like maybe right before I hop on, I'll just let go of it for 1 second before I hop on. Like who cares? Like they're exaggerating. So I let go of it. I go to hop on, like fall off. And then all of a sudden it's dangling and this wave comes. It goes up the wave. I like watch it go in front of me. And then I watch it come at me with... So the blades, the blades are to the right, and it comes and it hits me in my chest, like, and it wins me, and I'm like, and then I like go under, I'm like, and then I come up, and the person's like running at me, like, and then I was like, oh my god, and they were like, you can't let go, you need to go inside, and I was just like, holy shit, I did not know it was gonna get that real that fast.
Whoa. Yeah.
So maybe like it doesn't happen to everyone, not, but it was like a board, like, and the blades. At one point, I was like, yeah, if those blades were on my face, like that would be bad.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
You get away with murder.
No.
All the time. So that I would have died if that happened to me. It definitely would have like hit me in the face and I lost my vision.
It was intense enough that you also probably would have been like I think I was like I'm you know what I mean. Could have actually like feel like you would have been like
yeah, the way that you tell this story laughing, like if I had this story in my life, it'd have been like, and that
you'd have been like,
the
there was a time I got a full concussion from
almost a died near death experience. Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, there's all different types
of birds.
Everyone just needs to go out there and look at them. We went over some of the simple ones, but then you're going to get into really complicated, like warblers is a thing that I'm sorry, I just don't know.
There's so many,
there's
right?
So many, and they come in spring and summer and they're beautiful. They're all these different colors. They come from, you know, just picture Costa Rica, like these intense birds. So they're around in summer. So if you can find them, which I've actually just had a hard time finding any of them, they're really complicated and cool. And they just like look really cool. But there's so many different species and it's just like they all look the same physically. The only thing that's varying is color. Mm-hmm. And so there's like, I don't know, like 20 to like 30 different ones that come in the summer. And so I can't even seem to find them, let alone when I find one. I can't know.
That's exciting that you have so much. So
some people would know the warblers. And then there's calls. I have an app that listens
For some reason, I'm more interested in trying, not more interested, but I am like, oh, I really want to figure out the calls because sometimes you can't see anything, but you can hear it.
That's also great if you're doing like the citizen science things that like I do when I go to Hyde Park. You just count the birds and at the end of your hike, you just put it in, then Cornell like has a better track of how many birds are there. People can track birds by calls. So then like I go in and I have to see them, verify it's the bird, and then be like, I saw one northern flicker. I saw two hermit thrushes. But some birders can go in and be like, I know that bird's here because I can hear it. And then they'll track it.
Right.
So it's like,
You're actually just tracking whether or not it's there. It's not about whether you saw it. It's like just to let people know that bird is here.
Which is cool because it's like I'm actually missing out on knowing so many birds are around me, because if you do know the calls, you can know they're there, even though it might be really hard to see them because they're so loud.
Maybe it's because I'm a singer that I'm more interested in.
And it's also cool. It's also like, I think for me, it feels harder.
I feel like that it's a fun puzzle for me. Like, and I haven't spent any time, but like, I feel like that could be fun just to be like, oh. It's like, it's actually like taking a piano test where you have to like know your intervals and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you're just like, it's like, okay, to be able to hear something and identify it, that's cool. It's really cool that people can do that.
And a fun little trickster about that just arrived here end of April, saw my first one biking home today, a mockingbird. And it literally makes all the sounds of all the other birds around it.
Yeah.
They're super cool. And they're ones that are around you. Get your binoculars. You'll see them, but you don't know you've seen one.
We didn't even talk about the fact that birds can talk.
Yeah. Okay, you know what's so funny? You weirdly were at the beginning. We're just like, so why birds? So why does one bird? And then ever since I was like, whatever, you've just like been freaking out about why birds are the coolest thing ever. I'm like, well, let's go.
That's why I was
Let's go.
I was trying to say at the beginning, none of this is coming out of like trying to be.
No, but it's funny because now you're just like bringing up everything.
Yeah, I was trying to learn why.
Yeah. And now it's like, you know why, because they're talking. They're trying to bang each other right now, which is really fun because they fly in these crazy ways and go like.
I don't know how I feel about, maybe we won't talk about this, people like having birds in cages.
Oh, okay, hot take. White supremacy is bad and having birds in cages is bad.
I know, but obviously, like, people could say having a dog and it, like, you're basically like caging.
Yeah, I think having a dog is also super weird.
Okay, as long as we're saying that, I just, yeah. I know there'll be people who probably have birds and love their birds and take care of birds. And, it can be hurtful to be told, like, you shouldn't do that.
Okay, fair, but, you're right. But, like, I'm just saying, okay, then, like, oh my god, yeah, duh. And also, like, dogs are, like, pets are weird. Like, we know that.
Okay. But so cool that birds can talk. And that's how I know that, because birds live with humans in their homes.
Oh, you mean, that's like, parrots? That's what made me think of it.
Yeah.
Like, can speak English.
Sorry, I know they, like, can't talk, but they can.
I was like, they talk. No, but they talk to each other. But you mean speak English?
Literally.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant,
what's up, dog?
Oh, my God, Mitch. I thought you meant humans. Sorry, birds can talk. I'm like, yeah, they're talking to each other. But you mean, like, birds can speak
English. Yeah, no, or, like, any crazy language that they're taught. And, like, communicate and say things back to humans and repeat things. Like, that's so cool. And you probably wouldn't know it from being out in nature, but because people own birds and have them in their home, you realize, whoa, these birds are literally repeating radio sounds.
That's what I was going to say. It is repeating. That's what they're doing. So they're not actually communicating. Like, they're not talking.
But some have been trained to, like, communicate in a way that you train a dog a trick. Like,
Give it your paw,
you ask a question, it responds. Yeah, you know, like, they are crazy intelligent creatures that, even though they're repeating, they're probably learning to associate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if this is about a treat, give me the treat. Give me
the treat. They're definitely smart. You know what I mean? I'm like, they've, as I said, been evolving on this planet longer than
us. It's so cool that they can do that.
Can learn to speak English.
I was going to ask one final question, unless I'm
good.
Talking. Okay.
I'm like, literally just like, follow me on Instagram / I'm going to start doing like meetups in the park where we all go birding. You might have to take mushrooms. Okay, I'm kidding.
Okay, last question.
Kidding. I poison people.
Can either answer, the first one you might not want to answer. You probably know what I'm going to ask, but it can be turned into a different question. What is your favorite bird? Which I know you might be like, no, bird's my favorite, but that's what
Okay. That's good. That's a good one. I do think it is funny, and we do giggle and say, of course, the bird you're looking at. But it's not true. Oh my God, he literally slapped my arm. No.
So then, I thought you were going to just say that.
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay, pick a bird quick. I have to pee so bad. That's why I'm trying to wrap this up.
Oh my God, I am having a hard time. And like, if you want a quick answer, no, that is hard.
Then I can give you the second half of the question, which is, what bird are you most, what bird are you most excited to see that you haven't seen yet?
Okay, so it was a northern flicker, and then I saw it. So that's interesting, because I've had that on my mind for a long time, and it would have been my answer 2 weeks ago. It's been 2 years, and I just cannot believe I saw it. Like, I just, like, it was walking right in to show my friend birding for the first time. I'm like, haha, there's one. And I'm like, oh, it's kind of big too. I look at it, I'm like, that's a northern flicker. And he just, like, watches me do, like, something that he could only be like, you're lying. Like, why are you freaking out?
Yeah.
So it was, that was one I really wanted to see, and it was really cool.
Okay.
It's really, really hard to choose. I do feel like, I'm just going to say right now, it's like when the, like, cliff and barn swallows come in spring to Toronto, I'd say it's them, because they do look like belugas and they fly really cool. And I just was in New Mexico where they were there, and I was like, you're coming home soon, people. Like, they're a sign of spring, and they're almost a sign of late spring, where it's like, it actually is pretty out, there's flowers, and they're like back, and I love them. And I saw them for the first time last year, like when we went to the spit with my parents, like seeing them fly in those little homes. It was like, that was so, like, magical.
Yeah,
that I was like,
so cute.
I want that moment again, which will be coming soon. So swallows.
Okay, ask me the question.
Okay. What's your favorite bird?
Oh no, which one am I excited to see?
Oh sorry.
That's which one are you excited to see? I don't have a favorite, because I don't think about it that much, but something I realized that, you know how you said there's the before and after birder? So it's like, before bird, I saw these birds and didn't really take them into notice. But I know this is a really basic answer, but since learning more about birding, I actually want to see a flamingo. Like, I know we're not going to see it here, but they're really cool, weird birds that everyone notices, even when they're not birders, because you're like, that's a very flaming color. What do you say? I'm not trying to say gay things.
Wow, really having a hard time saying things that aren't gay. I'm actually going to sit back and watch you do this one.
Faggot, a big faggot. Oh, big limp-wristed bottom boy.
I meant to say fluorescent pink is what I was, the word I was trying to find. That's what I was like saying.
Well, that's interesting because when you were saying which one you're most looking forward to, I was obviously like thinking birds you could see here.
No, I
just meant. But that's interesting. I don't think that much about birds outside. Because there's so many.
Yeah.
Like, it, and the best way to learn anything is through experience, like experiential learning. Like even as a teacher, that's all they want you is like take them on field trips. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to learn about birds that you can't like experience actually, and see and stuff.
But that's why I mean, it'd be so fun to go back somewhere where there are flamingos.
Yeah, no, my point, point is that I haven't even thought of that, but I'm thinking about that now. And I'm like, that's fucking crazy. I want to see a flamingo so bad.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not part of any of the knowledge I'm picking up because everything's always focusing on what you can't see. But I'm like, yeah, I want to see a flamingo.
Yeah.
And there's probably so many birds that I want to see that I don't even know about. Yeah. And like, when Southeast Asia.
In Australia and went to like a marsh, we saw like so many cranes and they were huge.
Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't appreciate it enough. But now I'm like, I want to look at that with different eyes.
Yeah, I know.
Also, ostrich.
Yeah, like, frick, I want to see an
that's
ostrich.
That's a bird.
I know.
How crazy.
Yeah, it literally sounds like you're.
Kiwi?
It sounds like you're truly a bird fan.
Oh my God, and, like, you know which one? Osprey, no, what's it called?
Mitch, you're literally. I'm so down. I'm like, this worked. I'm like, he's a birder.
I'm a birder.
Like, you're screaming. I'm like, what are you even saying? Osprey? Those are cool. They make the nests.
What's the one that looks like a literal dinosaur in Australia? Can you vamp? I'm gonna look it up.
Oh, what do you mean? Oh, like
vamp means like just.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you other really cool birds. Hermit thrushes. Bird. Okay, no, grackles are like blackbirds that come back.
Cassowary. Thank you. Got it. That, you know, those?
Yeah, yeah. Those are crazy.
Dinosaurs.
But also I wanted to tell people, I'm realizing in spring, red-winged blackbirds are another really obvious one because they're blackbirds with red wings.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They make this really loud noise right now that you can literally, every time you open the door, it's like, like, and so they're fun because they also represent spring and they really red on their wings. But grackles, as I just said, are like blackbirds with blue kind of heads when you look at them in the right
light. Kind of like shimmers.
Yeah. We don't have crazy Australia stuff, but there are vultures.
Yeah,
love them
too. Right. You should appreciate the beautifulness, beauty in simple things as well. But it's exciting to see. Also, maybe because we're not in a place that has these kind of birds, it's like so outstanding.
So go out on your hikes, look for birds, and like do lots of free looks around your parks and buildings at first, and then the next thing truly is to just buy binoculars, but you can buy used ones because what it does is it makes you able to sort of actually know what you're seeing for like a lot of the opportunities you're gonna have. But there still is a way that you can literally bird
without
listen, like taking your earplugs out right now on your walk home in Toronto and start to learn. It's like very easy, and then there's really cool apps you can download, and it's honestly like such a high recommend for me. It's like the only thing I would recommend that anyone do. Every other thing I do, I'd be like, don't do it. It's crazy. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can like wholeheartedly be like, this is a good
like
thing.
There's nothing bad goodness in that's gonna life. Happen. Yeah. Yeah, it's like only good things are gonna happen. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think it inspired me. Hopefully it inspired other people to look more at the birds.
It ends with an ad by being like, and this was sponsored by Big Bird.
Oh my God, all Big Bird.
Telling me. Oh my God, I love Big Bird. I want to see him.
M-word bird from Fred Penner. Birds, classic, even in our media.
Thank you so much. Make sure you like and subscribe.
I absolutely have to pee so bad. So
me too.
Yeah, okay.
Want to go cross, what is it called? Cross swords? Let's go,
is
bro.
Cross swords? Yeah, something like that. Okay, let's go cross swords. Peace. All right, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.